parables. In today's Bible reading, Jesus tells a couple of parables. These parables are about farming and about how plants grow. Jesus talks about the tiny mustard seed and the large plant that comes from it. You may have heard the phrase, the faith of a mustard seed, referring to how small things begin and how amazingly large they can become through faith in God. Somehow, in this version of the parable, things don't seem as grand. The small seed grows up to become the greatest of all shrubs. Shrub doesn't sound all that great. Other translations use herb, plant, and garden plant. We're reading from Mark today, but in Luke 13:19, things sound more like what you may remember. It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Grander. A tree instead of a shrub or a garden plant. Never mind that a mustard plant is an herb or a shrub. The parable sounds better as a tree, right? I'm guessing that the writer of Luke wanted a little more punch in the narrative, or the oral culture of the time had supersized the parable before it was written down. It's very likely that Jesus had said shrub, or lakanon, the Greek word for herb or garden plant, when he told the parable. We get the idea of small things that become amazingly large through faith in God. And no matter what, Jesus provided seeds of discussion. You see, right at the end of the reading, there's something that I think gets lost. It says that Jesus always talked to the people in riddle talk, parables, but he would do further explanation to the disciples in private. There's more to learn. There's more to understand. There's more to seek. There are seeds to grow. Jesus talked about these things with his disciples. He got into smaller groups that really hashed out the stories. Jesus and the disciples spent time in what's called Midrash, where rabbis and students discuss scripture and the possible meanings. They tend to look at things from several angles and try to really chew on things as they seek deeper and deeper understanding. And I think Jesus' example of digging deeper into the stories with the disciples further supports the idea that the stories weren't meant to turn people away or confuse them to the point of giving up. They were an invitation to learn more. There are two parables in today's reading. The second one is the mustard seed. The first one is a seed parable too. Seeds are planted. They grow, the plants grow large, the plants are harvested, providing nourishment and resources. The seeds that come from the plant are planted, and more growth begins. I think that's how Jesus is comparing the kingdom, or to put it in non-royalty language, God's realm, or to put it into the language I tend to use because it makes wonderful sense, God's neighborhood. The way God's neighborhood works, we have seeds planted, growth, lots of growth, harvest, and continued seed planting, all for the benefit of those whose lives are enhanced by what grows. But it does require, hard to say that word, it does require a reseeding so that the growth pattern doesn't stop. Parables are made to make you think. They're meant to start conversations. Parables confuse, anger, and irritate folks so that people will think beyond the words and beyond what may seem obvious into something deeper and soul-enriching. Let me ask some dangerous questions. Let me ask some questions that give you permission to think in any direction the questions take you. How has the pandemic affected your faith? How have you experienced God's neighborhood in the last year? What makes you want to keep believing in God? How are you reseeding what you've experienced? And while you're chewing on that, let's head back to the mustard seed. God's neighborhood is like a little seed that grows into a big weed. God's neighborhood is like a little seed that grows into a big weed that folks spend hours trying to tear out, really to no avail. God's neighborhood is like a little seed that pays no attention to the desire of the farmer. It grows and grows and grows, often choking out the plants around it. God's neighborhood is like a little seed that produces an uncontrollable and disorderly result. God's neighborhood is like a little seed that produces ultimately the perfect taste to go with a Chicago-style hot dog. That seed does not produce, mind you, ketchup. Or perhaps you could go in this direction. God's neighborhood grows everywhere. You can't get rid of it. God's neighborhood isn't dependent on folks to defend or nurture it. God's neighborhood isn't harmed by folks who attack it or try to minimalize it. God's neighborhood isn't neat and tidy. It's all over and we can't control it. God's neighborhood is distinct and makes stuff taste better. And there's more that comes from thoughts like that. God's neighborhood is tiny and at the same time bigger than you can imagine. When we mess up, God's neighborhood isn't messed up. And before we get images of how things are going to all be all better once we're back in the building, while we're still maintaining our online presence, and how we're going to do it to make the congregation bigger and better and all of that into our minds, God's neighborhood isn't about how big our churches are, or where and how we have worship services, or how close we are to making our budget, or what programs we have, and how good our preacher is, and whether we have enough money to buy nice things or even pay our bills. It's about God's presence, and God's love, and God's acceptance, and God's extravagant welcome for all. And in God's neighborhood, we get to have conversations. The parables are still living. They are still worth discussing. They are worth chewing on. God's neighborhood is here. Now, it's arriving now. It will arrive in the future. It has been here in the past. It is unpredictable, messy, uncontrollable. It is marvelous. The caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace, flourishing. Amen.